Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Marketing Matchmaker. This week's going to be a little different for us, and I am super excited. I actually started this podcast with Krista that released yesterday on her podcast, and we're going to continue the conversation here. So we are talking about those strategies to actually realistically hit $1 million. We're going to debunk and demystify a lot of those myths and ideas that people have when it comes to growing their business to those exciting figures of millions and seven figures, and sometimes even just multiple six figures. So to get started, I wanted to introduce Krista to you real quick. So Krista Grasso is the founder of the Lean Out Method and the Strategic Ops Institute and creator of the Simplify to Scale framework. She partners with CEOs and their teams to navigate through that messy middle of that $500,000 to $5 million and helps them to scale in a way that allows the founders to live rich, fulfilled lives while leading a high-impact, high-profit business. She also hosts the Lean Out Your Business podcast, which is where episode one of this dual podcast is. So if you haven't listened there, I'm going to encourage you to head over there and give it a listen. Before we dive into some of these myths and debunk them, I want to give you a quick recap of kind of what we talked about. Krista, I am super excited to continue this conversation. So on the last episode, we were kind of talking about simplicity, making your marketing and your business doesn't have to be complex. It can be simple, but it's never easy. So I was talking about those three simple steps where marketing is all about visibility, leads, and then sales. Like those are the three simple pieces to your marketing. I'd love to hear from you, Krista, about operations, that whole framework that wraps around your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree fully, right? Those three things are so incredibly important when you want to grow your business. And in order to be positioned to be able to support that level of growth, I think we need to make the right decisions from a strategy perspective, from a planning perspective, from a team and a systems perspective. And we have to have the right insights so we're measuring to see what's working and what we want to do more of, and what's not working that we can let go of so we're not constantly adding more and adding to the complexity so we could keep things really, really simple. So it's what I call SPSTI, strategy planning, systems, team, and insight. And it's really just the ecosystem that you want to build in your business to be able to support the incredible growth that you want to see your business have ahead of you.
So one of the things that we touched on in the last episode that I kind of want to revisit is those levels of growth. I know you talk about this a lot. Let's introduce the audience into those stages of growth.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've noticed in partnering with and working with a lot of businesses to scale over these past over 30 years now, is that if you're in that period between multi-six and multi-seven figures, there's actually six common plateaus where a lot of businesses can get stuck. Now, the good news is you don't have to get stuck at those plateaus. You can actually avoid them entirely if you strategically recognize that there's a different level coming in doing the things that you need to. So the first one, once you've broken past six figures, is around 250,000, 300,000. The second's around 500,000. Third's around 750, 800,000. Fourth is at that 1.2 to 1.3 million. Then there's 3 million, then there's 5 million. So depending on where you are now, you might be at one of those plateaus. I hope you're not. But regardless of where you are, I'd be looking at what is next, what level is next. And you want to be thinking about what's the right operational kind of structure that you need around you to be able to support the growth that it will take to get to that next level.
Yeah, because one of the things that we talked about in the last episode was the idea of going from zero to a million or 100,000 to a million. And the reality is if marketing can definitely help you do that. And if you do that without those structural pieces and you're not kind of looking ahead to say, okay, I'm at 100,000, I'm going to hit 250. What do I need to set up structurally, internally, in order to sustain that? And then again, at the 500,000 and so on. Oftentimes, if I bring you 100 leads, or if you have that explosion in your business can break without doing that. So I think from that perspective, marketing and operations have to work hand in hand. If they're not, you're probably going to struggle somewhere along the way.
I think of the infinity symbol when I think about it, and it's like they're totally interconnected. And if you have a lot of new leads coming in, a lot of new sales that you're converting through amazing marketing efforts, great. Well, what do you need right behind it is you need to up-level your operations to be able to support that. And if you're putting too much focus on your operations and you start to lose the focus that you need to on marketing, what happens? You need to go back to raising visibility and bringing in new leads. And so what a lot of businesses do is they laser focus on one or the other and create this very dramatic need for the other one. Like, it's like, oh no, I just grew and I can't support it. I need to go all in on my ops. Or I've gone all in on my ops. Oh no, I no longer have any new clients coming in. A couple just left. Now what do I do? Whereas what I think is you want that balance where you're consistently focused on your marketing and bringing in new leads and sales, and you're consistently up-leveling your SPSTI so you have the right operations to deliver an exceptional experience for current clients and support the next level of growth in the business.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Today's topics are really revolving around those myths and debunking those myths. It's something that I love to talk about when it comes to marketing. The first myth that we wanted to chat about today is really that myth of easy. Like, it doesn't have to be hard, and it's not easy, right? It's that whole myth of, I only have to work 2 hours a week. I know we've both seen people that have that in their feed, and their messaging is, you know, around, I only work 7 hours a week, or I only work 10 hours a week. Talk to me about that from an operations perspective or a business growth perspective.
Yeah. So first of all, what I want to say is, let's assume for a moment that the person that's claiming that they only work 4 hours a week while they're sipping their Mai Tai on a beach in Bali is actually telling the truth, which unfortunately I don't think a lot of people are, but let's assume for
fair
a moment.
Fair point.
We'll give them the doubt and we'll say that's absolutely correct. Great. Amazing. Well, I guarantee you they did not go from zero to that place overnight. And if they did, they happened to hit a few things at just the right wave up, and they will not be able to sustain it. But what frequently has happened to make that possible is they have put the right systems in place. They have put the right team in place. Yeah. They have a marketing and sales engine that is super dialed in, that is consistently bringing them in new leads and closing those new leads for them. They have a team that is supporting all of their customer support, running their ads, doing whatever they need to do. And they have systems that are automating and delivering a whole lot of things. And that's always the dream, right? We want to get ourselves out of the day-to-day operations of the business. We want the business to just keep on growing to the multiple millions that we might envision and have very little dependent on us. We can just do our brilliant thought leadership work and spend our days on the beach in Bali or whatever your dream is. Cool. That's great. And it's not that it's not possible. It's that it's not possible without focusing on your operations. And usually it takes a whole lot of years, if we're going to be practical here, in order to build things up to that level of like well-run operation to be able to do something like that. And people don't do it as a solopreneur. They don't do it without systems, and they don't do it overnight. Or if they do, they certainly do not sustain it.
No, I agree. And they also don't do it. My favorite is, and I've seen this, I've seen it in ads and also just in regular stream, are the ones that I've done this all without spending one dime on ads. That is my favorite thing to see an ad. Like, I made a $1 million business and didn't spend any money on ads, but now I'm running ads.
Oh, I see this all the time. I'm going to teach you how to scale your business without ads. And I'm like, but I have to click on your ad
right?
to your secret to how to scale without ads. Let's think about this for a moment.
I often wonder at these people that do that, that you're going, do you not realize like the dichotomy of what you're trying to sell versus what you're actually doing? Like this is, there's little integrity in that message and behind that message. You're right though about this, the reality is you have two ways to scale a business, right? You can scale outwards where you have thousands of customers, or you can scale upwards where you have higher end customers. And so, yes, if you're, you know, I was talking to a client of mine who has a friend and he has two clients a year and they spend $100,000 with them, each client. Okay, great. He might only be working 2 hours a week, reality. And I can guarantee you he's not getting those clients running paid traffic. So he's also spending all of the other time searching for that next two clients. So you have to, when you're that easy, that whole easy, you know, sipping Mai Tai things, you have to look at it from a realistic perspective. Like reality is you can get there and it's going to take time, energy, and effort. It is not easy.
No, and it's, I mean, totally different business models too. Totally, right? It's if you are the person who has the $100,000 offer, which I remember when I started business, people would talk about a $100,000 offer. I'm thinking, who would pay someone $100,000?
I right? agree.
Now I have a $100,000 offer and I have
right.
$100,000 clients. It's amazing. And you're right. Where do I meet them? In person. I
yeah.
travel to events where 7+ figure business owners are, and I meet them in person. And that is how it works. It's not the paid ad that
no.
I'm doing to my $1,000 program, right? It's if you're trying to do that, it's more of a volume play. If you're trying to do the higher ticket, it's more of a value play. And you have to put yourself in the right rooms, in the right places, and you need the full ecosystem of everything. Because if that person meets you and they're like, oh, she's pretty good, but then they go and look at your stuff and you've got nothing online and your stuff doesn't back up the claim that you made in person, it doesn't work either. So even with those $200,000 clients, it's really hard to actually convert those clients and keep those clients if you're not focused on the full ecosystem
experience.
Of what
yeah.
it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Shifting to those launches, those $1 million launches, because when you are going from one to one to one to many, which is what you see most often online, you're not necessarily seeing those consultants or whatever that have those $100,000 offers. They're not out there marketing themselves online. You're seeing those consultants, coaches, online business owners that are selling a $5, $10, $15, $20,000 offer. Which means you need more than one client for that. And I know there's so many people that talk about the $1 million launches. I'm going to be honest, I've had clients in the past. We've had $350,000 launches. We've had $80,000 months, all of those things that get you to $1 million. And the reality is that the statement is always this one launch. I'm going to teach you how I did this one launch and made $1 million. And I did it without whatever the things are, whatever their spiel is. A lot of times it's with only three people on my team or something around that. I'd love your perspective of, I have my own of the $1 million launch, but I'd love your perspective of that and really the business owners in that space.
Well, I'll give you a fun behind the scenes, which is probably not going to be surprising to anybody, but I have been in a lot of those groups, right? I'm part of masterminds. I'm in a lot of different circles. And I will tell you, some of those people that are featured very prominently in the case study on that person's website that's selling their incredible strategy, I'm on the call behind the scenes with the person who is actually in tears after their launch, because even though they had this multi-6-figure launch on paper, and it's technically true, they closed a certain number of clients where the total value of what they generated from that launch is maybe $300,000, we'll say. They didn't make enough in cash flow to pay their team. They're completely burnt out. they're not at all sure how they're even going to deliver on it. And so it sounds really good. And if you cherry pick those stories, and if you say so-and-so did this first time out, $300,000 launch, it's easy for other people to hear that and be like, ooh, I could do that too. Well, what they don't mention is that person has been in business for 10 years, has done a whole bunch of different launches, just tried this new strategy, which her audience was already kind of primed to buy anyway, and did it and followed this model without really thinking about how it fit her business, her ecosystem, got some success with it, but actually did not set herself up for sustainability, actually set herself up into such a world of hurt that I've seen people have to refund people because they couldn't deliver. I've seen so many hot messes behind the scenes that nobody tells you when they share that case study with you.
They don't. And oftentimes it's the guru who's selling the strategy and it's their own launch. Like, I'm not going to name names. And it's been in my feed where they just hit $300 million last year in business, but they're not telling you the amount of time, energy, and effort it has taken them to get to that point. It's amazing. But the majority of people that do launches are making 100,000, maybe 200,000, if they're lucky, multiple six figures. If you don't have the systems, though, in place to satisfy all of these people that have bought from you, that's going to be a real struggle for you. And that's where people lose money. They don't also tell you how much they spent to hit the $1 million, right? They may have spent $500,000 just in ad spend in order to get a $1 million launch. So is that other $500,000 also then has to pay for their team and pay for, you know, their own, whatever, their systems, their processes, as well as their own salary. So many people actually lose money in $1 million launches than make money in $1 million launches.
And there's this myth of like the lost leader, especially if anyone is in an e-commerce space, right? And it's like, well, I didn't make money on this launch, but it's okay because I got new clients and then more people are going to find out about me. And it's like this like magical trail of things that have to happen just right for it to turn into a profit 3 years from now instead of right now. But people are kind of sold this as like, well, it's okay. You just want to get people in and then you're going to be able to refine what you're doing. And then they're going to tell more people about it and it's going to grow and you won't have to rely so much on paid ads. And we hear all these things over and over again. But practically, if you're bringing people in and you can't deliver on the promises that you made or can't deliver a really exceptional client experience, they're probably not going to get the results that they signed on for. They're certainly not going to retain as client. They're definitely not going to tell anybody anything positive about you. They might tell you some other things about you, right? But it's in people, the whole organic thing, pure organic, no advertising at the $1 million mark. Is it possible? Yes. Is it realistic? Not really. You've got to do some things to get yourself into some really big audiences. Maybe you do paid speaking instead, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that you have to do to get yourself in front of a whole lot of people because pure referral-based marketing does not usually lead to seven-figure launches, especially if you have a price point like the one that you were talking about.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Even if you have a lower price point, like if your price point is $1,000 or $1,500, you're still like, break that down into how many you have to sell. Does your email list support that? I mean, how are you bringing these people in? And that's the reality of organic marketing. There's this myth that you can only do organic marketing. There's also the myth that you can only do paid marketing. Like it is a give and take. It's a multi-layer approach. And if you are focused solely on one or the other, at some point, one of them's going to fail you. And then you're going to be really hurting. I had a client come to me in that boat. Like she did only paid for 5 or 6 years and had really good results. And then paid traffic went into this craziness with the iOS 14 update and all of that kind of stuff years ago. So she's like, okay, I'm shifting to organic. That didn't work either. Like it got her less, like her paid traffic was costing more money, but she was at least getting leads and sales through that. Her organic, she was getting like one or two sales a month when she was getting like one or two sales a week in the past. It's a big difference. So you really do want to have this multi-layer approach to your marketing, and have the operations to back it up.
Exactly. You need to be able to support the growth ahead while being able to deliver on the experience that you promised. You have to be able to do both. And part of that is having a team that knows what they're doing, can actually deliver, and it sticks around. It doesn't jump ship all the time because things are so chaotic, they can't keep up with it all.
Yes. I love that. I love that team perspective, because I don't think enough people think about that. For those business owners that are in that messy middle, that they're like, they may not even have hit 500,000, but maybe they've hit the 250 mark. Talk about teams in it. Like, the myth is, let's be honest, the myth is you can do this on your own. Like, that's what people are saying. You only need a VA or whatever. What do you really need?
Yeah, I hear two polar opposite extremes, which is frequently the case. And the truth is almost always in the middle, right?
Right.
Either you can do this with just a VA in the Philippines and that's it and it's all that you need, or you need this whole structure where you've got a leadership team and you shouldn't have people reporting to you. You need to hire people that manage the people that do the things. And I see people with a $250,000 business with like three managers that report to them and a whole bunch of people doing things. And I'm like, I am going to guess that there is negative profit in your business right now because you don't need that. But both are touted all the time. And the reality is you need what I call your lean dream team. And your lean dream team looks different for every business based on your business model and based on your business goals. But the real goal is you want to do what you do best. And in the beginning, if you're still at a $250,000 mark, you probably create amazing content that raises visibility and lets people know you exist. You probably make amazing connections with people through networking or through whatever it is that you're doing. And you're probably the one who's doing most of the marketing and sales.
Yeah.
Like at that stage, you're kind of usually still the face of your business, even if you have an agency model or something else. And so you're still in kind of some of that business development place. Your team should be able to do everything else. If you're creating amazing thought leadership content, great. Hire a marketing team or hire someone who can go out and take your brilliance and put it out into the world in the way that it's going to attract the right people and help you grow your business. Hire somebody who can help you with paid advertising, right? It's hire somebody like you who can do a lot of those things while also making sure that you have the right operational and administrative support to run your tech, run your tools, take care of your clients. And if that sounds like a lot, that can be like two people and an agency.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be a huge spend and it doesn't have to be a huge effort, but it does need to happen. You need someone who's helping you with growth and you need someone who's helping you with operations and running the business so that you can do your brilliance and what you do best. And as you keep growing and growing and growing, you might bring in people who help you with the sales aspect of things. You might bring in people who help you with more of the true business development side of things. You'll keep getting more off your plate. But if it's kind of revolving around you right now, get people to help you bring more people to you and get people to help you run things day to day so you can do more of that.
Yeah. I will also say for both of us, you also need help with your strategy, because the hardest thing to do in your business is see all of the moving pieces in it when you're in the middle of it. It's that whole seeing the forest for the trees kind of aspect. So having a strategy of how you're going to scale your operations from 250 to 500,000 to 750 to 1,000,000 to and on is essential. It's also those breaking points that we were talking about in your operations are also the scaling points when it comes to marketing. You're having different needs and different ways of bringing in your leads at every one of those points. So having someone, whether it's joining a program like your Lean Out Method or hiring a consultant like me, it's not someone necessarily in your business all the time. It's someone just to help you really see your business from a different perspective is going to be incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I'm so happy you said that because when I look back at my journey, I think I could have avoided a lot of the very expensive mistakes that I made in my business if I had hired a coach sooner or hired a strategist or an advisor sooner. But I am a business strategist and I'm a really, really great business strategist.
Absolutely.
Because of that, you think, well, I don't need a business strategist. I am a business strategist. But it's really hard to strategize in your own business because you're too
Yes.
close to it. And
Yeah.
it took way too long to realize that.
That's one of the things that I've been saying over and over in the podcast lately is going it alone is the worst idea you could ever have. I am also a marketing strategist. I know a lot about marketing. And yet sometimes my own marketing, my own messaging, I'm like, does this really? I use my business coach for that of this is my thoughts. These are my ideas. And just having her help me to clarify them. And also, no, that's a really bad idea, Jen. Don't do that. Sometimes we get really excited about things and we want to go out there and do the thing. And it's like, that's not a great way. You're not going to be happy doing that.
It's so true. And it's, yeah, I mean, and I also think that the thing that we are the best at in the world, the zone of genius that our clients recognize us for, is usually something that is like a zone of competence at best within our own business.
Yes.
And it's really hard to wrap your head around because there's this whole imposter syndrome feeling that comes up. It's like, well, if I'm so good at this for other people, why can't I do it for myself? Right. And so we go through this whole cycle where eventually we realize, no, that's just the way that it is. We need the person who can do for us what we do for somebody else. If we try to do it for us, we're getting like subpar results at best.
It's always, my business coach always used to teach me, she's like, it's the cobbler has no shoes, the cobbler's son has no shoes kind of thing, because you are really good at what you do, but you don't see your business and your needs in the same way. So one of the other topics that we were talking about, which is kind of a diversion, because that whole don't go it alone thing is incredibly important. And what's equally important is picking the right type of person to help you. From my perspective, one of the debunkings that I've been working on saying is that agencies, you have to be at a specific level of business to hire an agency, to hire the complete done for you. And agencies cherry pick their case studies. So really understanding how good the agency is isn't going to come from the case studies necessarily. And I think that goes with every type of consulting, whether it's business consulting or operations or anything else. For me, it's that business owner who is, or that agency that is saying things like, my client got a $350,000 launch. Okay, great. The question is what was their ROI on that launch? Number one. But number two, how many of those clients have you had that has done that? It's a really valid question. When it comes to operations, what are those kind of co case studies? What are those questions that people need to a ask?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And the other thing, too, that I just want to say before I answer that is
Yeah.
it's never one thing. Like,
Right.
we love to think that it's one thing, but yeah, maybe they did have a $350,000 launch and that's amazing. And maybe that agency, contributed really well towards those results, but that person also did multiple things that came together
Right.
for that to happen. And that person also had a level and depth of experiences, whether it was life experiences or business experiences, that
Yeah.
to that point, and they have a specific target market and a specific messaging and a specific all these different puzzle pieces that came together to produce those particular results. So even if their business looks a little bit like yours, even if you can see a lot of yourself in their story, I guarantee you their puzzle pieces are different than your puzzle pieces. And
Absolutely.
mean it's going to be the same.
I love that. I love that perspective because it's so true. I've seen that where a client has come. It wasn't necessarily my agency, but it was a networking partner, we'll just call it. We were talking about all of their things just culminated into this perfect storm of where their leads were coming in at like 50 cents. And it was just all of the things. Yes, the agency definitely contributed with their targeting and their ads and all of that kind of stuff, but the messaging was right on point and they knew who they were targeting and all of those things just layered to the point where, yeah, they had $250,000, $300,000 launches and they do every time. There's a reason and it's not necessarily just the agency that did it.
Right. Like I've seen agencies who do beautiful jobs. They run gorgeous Facebook ads, yes, but the funnel behind the scenes is broken. And yes, you can't blame the agency for bad results when you've got a broken funnel. And yeah, so it's like, you do want to think of the whole picture. And to get back to answer your question about the operations, this to me is the most important piece of everything. Is there an adaptable system? It does not matter what they're helping you with. I don't care what they're doing. A, are they giving you an actual system to be able to do it? Or are they just giving you some ideas that you then need to go off and try to figure out that's probably not going to be repeatable or fit for you? And if they are giving you a system, great. Can you adapt that system and still get results based on your unique context, your unique goals, all of those things? Because if it is super rigid and super, you must do this exactly like this, step by step by step, and they're not willing, or the system itself is not able to adapt and flex to meet your needs, it is never going to work for you long-term for the reason that I said, which is the person that it worked for, whether it was them or other clients, had different puzzle pieces. So how do you take what you're doing and make sure that it works for you? I find a lot of people are great idea generators and they can help you come up with some excellent ideas, but people don't see results because they're left on their own to figure out how to implement it. Or on the flip side, somebody has developed this system and it looks beautiful on paper, but it's not something that actually fits in with you. It's not aligned. It just doesn't make sense for where you're trying to go. And it's not able to be adapted where if you make a change, it breaks. So I think that's the most important piece of it.
I think that can also apply over into the marketing agency side of things as well, because you'll see a lot of agencies out there. They have a system that they set up because it's repeatable. It's easy. Like they can scale their agency because they do VSL. Like that's their thing. It's, you know, VSL to sales call. Like that's their method, or download to a webinar or whatever, whatever their process is. It's a repeatable process that they can do with every client. And it doesn't always work with every client because not everybody is really great at VSLs and not everybody's really great at webinars and not everybody's really great at launching. All of those pieces do have to culminate. So it needs to be something that you can actually implement long-term. So I love that. I do think too many people, to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning about the easy, too many people are looking for an easy button. I did a podcast last month about that, about, you know, looking for that easy solution. And that's often why people lose money. It's because they're just looking for easy. Like they want that was easy button to just magically appear. There are a lot of great sayings out there, whether it's you're one funnel away or, you know, launch before you're ready, or, you know, quits, whatever that easy button seems to be, whatever they're touting as it's easy to make $1 million. It's also not reality because they're not telling you about all of the things that come before that $1 million.
So true. I like to think of business as a giant experiment. And one of my core values, one of the things that I talk about a lot, is evolutionary experimentation. And I think that is ultimately how we get where we want to go, is every single thing that you're doing, you're trying something out. It's not necessarily good or bad. It is what it is. And you are looking at it and saying, did that work? What didn't work about that? What could I do better with this next time? What do I want to try next time? And you're continuously trying these different things. But I guarantee you that by the time they got that result that they're touting as your one thing away from, they went through a whole lot of different experiments and a whole lot of evolutions and a whole lot of learning to get there. And so it's, you just want to know, even if you are saying, you know what, I really like what this person has to say. I really like their strategy. Seems like it could work for me. I look at their framework. I feel like I could adapt it to my needs, or I really want to partner with this person. I think they're the right person to support me. Amazing. They probably are. And it probably is. However, don't go into it with the expectation that it is going to be a one and done easy button. You're going to do it. It's going to be magic. You're going to be a millionaire by morning. Like, it just doesn't work that way. You're going to try it. You're going to be like, huh, I thought this was going to go a little bit differently. Next time, I think I need to try this instead. Or, I really thought that my ads would convert a whole lot better than they did. Okay, what do I need to do differently? Like, those different things that you want to do over and over and over again until you find what works. And then when you find what works, the industry around you will change and you will have to keep refining.
True story.
It's an ongoing process, and that's good. And I think where we get disappointed is when we go in with the expectation of it being an easy button and it being the answer, the winning lotto ticket that is going to like rain money into our business and give us magical time back so we can head to our beach in Bali, right? And it's not really that way. It might be a beautiful, amazing strategy that can work incredibly well for your business, but go into it with the commitment that you are going to keep at it and keep working at it until it works. And if they promise that it will work and you will wake up a millionaire tomorrow, do not buy it, because that is not true.
Run the other way. That is the thing. If somebody is telling you that it's going to be easy, doesn't mean it has to be hard. It can be simple. Simplicity is something that is going to be scalable. Keep it, that whole keep it simple, stupid kind of thought process. However, if they tell you that, you know, just do this and tomorrow you'll be a millionaire, I can guarantee you they're lying to you, my friends. It just doesn't work like that. The other thing that I see a lot of business owners doing is jumping from easy offer to easy offer, right? Whether that's, you know, one-to-one coaching to group coaching to memberships or whatever those things are, or even those micro offers, or, you know, they're going to make $1 million off of that. There's so many things out there that people are saying are easy to do. None of them are. None of them are easy. They can be simple, but they're never going to be easy. If business was easy, everybody would be a millionaire. Jeff Bezos did not build Amazon on easy.
It's true. And I remember somebody called me, one of my clients, and she's like, okay, I figured out what I'm doing. And I'm like, what? I'm going to build a membership. I was like, okay, where did the membership come from? Because this wasn't what we were talking about before, right? And she's like, well, I just saw this ad from this woman and I went and looked, and she has like 3,000 people in her membership, and at $50 a month, it's this. And I thought, that sounds like a great business model. All I need to do is show up like twice a month and do this and this and this. It's amazing. Yes. I want to do a membership. And I'm like, let me guess, was she selling you a membership in this thing that you saw? Yeah, she's got this whole, and I'm like, okay. Let's just think about what it would really take to convert 3,000 people into a membership. Let's pretend for a moment you've got the right membership, you're targeting the right people, you've got a right end-to-end funnel in place, none of which you actually have, but let's pretend that you actually have this. Do you know how many people you would need to reach in order to convert 3,000 people? Like, at 2%, let's just do the math here and see what it would be. And that's 2% showing up for whatever the webinar is that you're doing or something. It's even more than that probably to get to register.
Yeah.
Do you have this much money to invest in ads in order to do that, to get to this 3,000 people? And how about the 10 times it's going to cost you to experiment to try to get it right before it actually starts converting at that rate? And she's like, oh, well, and I was like, remember when we were talking about your coaching package that was the same amount as like 1,000 of those people in your membership?
Where you only have to get one person in.
Right.
You're looking at 3 people instead of 3,000 people.
And this sounds silly, but this is somebody who's been in business for like 15 years. She's a successful business owner. It's not somebody who's brand new and like doesn't know any better. It's, I feel like we can all get enamored by these things because people are master messengers who are like, and I just did this one thing and I went from working so hard and so much and losing all this money. And now I just have people joining my membership all day long while I'm sitting by Mai Tai on a beach in Bali, right? And it's like, you hear these things and it's just sold as being so easy and just, I'm sorry, it's not. I hate to be the one that like busts people's bubble, but it's really not.
I know, that's the thing. I also hate to do it. And I also want to do it because I have seen so much of it. You know, in the marketing world, you see so much of this messaging that it's easy because that's what everybody wants. They want easy. We all want instant gratification. That's why we carry our cell phones around with us. We have little microcomputers in our hands so that we can get instant gratification for whatever it is. DoorDash gives us food in, you know, 15 minutes, whatever that might be. But the reality is it's never been easy and it's never going to be easy. And the more people that come online that start their own business, the harder it becomes. The more you have to dial in more to who you are, what you do, and who you serve in a way that cuts through the noise for everybody else.
Yeah, and I've been at this a long time, since the mid-90s. Yes, that shows and dates me there.
Right.
But right, and what I will say is every now and then there is that person that rides just the perfect wave. They come in at just the right time. And it was easy for them. And if you're not seeing me on video right now, I'm doing major air quotes around the word. And I think a lot of times we see that person and that's what we hold as the standard. But if you pay attention, because I do, because this is what I like to do, that person is usually not in business a couple years after.
True.
Or they are doing something completely different and reinventing themselves over and over and over again, because they keep trying to refine the easy magic bullet that they just so happened to hit just right. And they were the one in a million that it actually happened to. But because their story is so glamorous to people who wish that that was them, that's the story that gets told over and over and over again. And people think, well, if they could do it, so could I. And it ends up just perpetuating chasing easy instead of doing the real things that are going to get you to where you want to go quicker than if you keep chasing easy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. My friends, as we wrap this up, Krista, tell people how those that are in that messy middle or even maybe earlier stages, how do they get a hold of you besides going over to the Lean Out Your Business podcast and listening to the last episode? Because there were some real gems there as well.
Oh yeah. Make sure you listen to part one of this because we talked about some good stuff if you liked this one. But you can find me on Instagram at Krista Grasso. It's my personal account. You'll kind of hear not just stuff about scaling. You'll kind of see some cute pictures of my puppies because they are very adorable. But it's my personal place. If you want to connect with me, send me a message. Let me know that you found me here. And my website is leanoutmethod.com. That is where you will find all of the things and highly encourage you to get on my newsletter because I send some really juicy stuff a couple times a week.
Awesome. I am super excited for all of you that are looking to scale. Because that's what Marketing Matchmaker podcast is. It's to grow your business, increase your revenue, and scale your impact. And if you are looking to scale, look at your operations. That is something, as we work together, I'm going to send you to Krista to help you get there. Because if we're bringing in millions of dollars, you have to have the systems in place to handle that. I have loved this episode. If you have also loved this episode, leave a comment, reach out, let us know what you thought, and maybe we'll do some more in the future. Until then, I will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Matchmaker podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear your feedback. Please head over to Apple iTunes and leave a review so we can hear from you. And if you are a coach, consultant, or online course creator who are looking to grow your business, increase your income, and scale your impact, connect with me at yourmarketingmatchmaker.com. I look forward to hearing from you.